I will not preach a sermon today as such, but I have two things that I think will be useful for your consideration. They are quite different in their subject matter. The first has to do with what is going on among the American bishops. I don't know whether you interest yourselves in the American Catholic Church and its vicissitudes. You probably are aware that at the meeting which was held this past month, or rather this in November, the bishops were all up in arms about the way the Vatican had treated Archbishop Hunthausen of Seattle. They were all in great distress because they thought that it was unfair that the Vatican had deprived him of full control of that archdiocese. The Vatican appointed his auxiliary to take care of certain matters. And according to the papers, the majority of the American Catholic bishops were sorely tried because they thought that he was not or had not been given a fair shake. We had much conversation about this matter in Louisville because Archbishop Kelly of that archdiocese was very vocal in his support of Archbishop Hunthausen. I think it might be useful for you to hear these comments. In case you are uninformed, Archbishop Hunthausen is a rather notorious heretic. He is one who participates in demonstrations against nuclear weapons. That's not heresy, but that gives you a clue as to where he is. He is notorious for his defense of homosexuality and other moral aberrations. And he is most liberal in his granting of separations to those people who have difficulty in their marriages or who already have found new partners. He is very anxious to nullify the first marriages so that these individuals can make their peace with whomever. And the Vatican, if you have read how they treated this man, the Vatican was more than liberal. Because to begin with, he should never have been made an archbishop. He was notorious as a priest. And after he was made a bishop, that's surprising. But when one is usually not made an archbishop before he is made a bishop, and everywhere this man has been, he has been outstanding in his liberalism, his leftism, and his non-conventionalism. The reason why all these American bishops are so sympathetic is because they share his views. That is why. I have been in Louisville now for over 15 years, and none of the priests or the local bishops has ever been concerned about how I have been treated when I have not preached any heresy or had a public mass for homosexuals around the nation, as Archbishop Hunthausen did. I have never espoused the desecration of the Eucharist, as they all do, and yet none of them is concerned about how I have been treated, and none of them is concerned about the unfair way that Archbishop Lefebvre has been treated, how he is not given even the time of day, much less an apostolic visitator to sit down and discuss all these things. Concerning the revered Archbishop, they wish that he were not alive, and they treat him as much as they can as if he were not, when he is trying to defend the faith. You will hear that these liberal bishops complain and say that the treatment given this man was intolerable, and they are just in alarms over the matter, and they deplore the whole situation, and they say that the morale of the American bishops is at an all-time low, and if something isn't done to change the situation, well, we might even have to reconsider our status with regard to the Vatican. Now, that is supposed to mean, that is supposed to suggest that they might withdraw from Rome and establish the American Catholic Church. Don't you believe it? This is all so much folderol. They're not going to withdraw from the Church of Rome for two reasons. Because those who run the Church of Rome are of the same mind as they themselves. That's how they got appointed. This is all for our consumption. These kinds of things happen in the political arena constantly. They are pretending. They're not going to discipline anyone. The scenario is always the same. They keep on complaining and demonstrating, but they never talk about the issue. They keep on acting as if they are desperate because they are so mistreated. And if they're not treated properly, they'll take their toys and go somewhere else. Of course, they will not, because were they to leave, they would be without money, without churches, or without parishioners. No, they will continue to rant and to stamp. And the point is, they will wear down the authorities. That is the tactic. They will keep on complaining and making noise and acting as if they are being mistreated. And we will begin, not we, but the conciliarists will begin to say, give them their way so that we can have peace again. Never will there be a discussion of the issues, because, of course, they are such liberals that were they to discuss the issues, the common folk would say, well, I don't agree with either side. You may want to watch this whole thing unfold in the coming months and years. Every time there is a notorious leftist among the priests, Father Charles Curran is another one of them. He's been teaching heresy of the worst variety for 20 years in a Catholic university, and they have said that they examined his case for 7 years. You wouldn't have to examine his case for 7 minutes. And they still have not gotten rid of him, and he has been the professor of scores of priests, many of whom now are bishops, and he has spread his poison among all of them. That is why they're so concerned about his rights, because they are one with him in his views. He is another one of these protectors and defenders of homosexuals. A As I say, you can watch the whole thing unfold. It is exactly what we see that the communists do. They keep on ranting and raving and want the negotiations. What they want is their way. And they keep on making noise and carrying signs and getting coverage for all their complaints until they wear down the opposition. And the opposition is not in authority. They have been willing to give in to them as soon as possible. But they have to soften up public opinion. That is what they call peace. In other words, negotiate everything away. The second thing we want to mention has to do with Advent. We want you to remember that this is a penitential season, and you should decide what you're going to do to keep Advent. We ask you to be more faithful, if you need to be, about your daily prayers, and add a prayer or so, because it is Advent in preparation for the birth of Christ. As you have heard me say often, you are supposed to rehearse during this season your meeting with Christ. Would you be ready, were Christ to require you to give an account of your stewardship on Christmas Day? On Christmas Day, you probably wouldn't want him even to see your bank account. But that is what the season is supposed to be for. We're supposed to get ready to meet Christ, whether at our death or at his second coming, whichever is first. So we are supposed to look at ourselves and see what we have been and what we are doing and what we are not doing. I recommend that those of you who can do something in the way of fasting. It is to be observed that the people of this country, especially the so-called yuppie set, are on a health binge, a fitness binge. Everybody is supposed to be trim and sharp. And what they will do to their bodies for this conditioning is what the church could never require. What they require themselves for vanity's sake, they would condemn the church for requiring for their soul's sake, for their salvation. But you should think not as so much in terms of your physical conditioning, but of your spiritual conditioning. And you should also be lean and trim spirit-wise. Get rid of some of the looseness in your will, the sagginess of your resolves, the short-termed nature of your resolutions in confession. All of you should be sure that before Christmas you make a good confession. Some of you might even think about making a general confession. If you're going to do so, do not come in at 25 minutes after the hour on Sunday morning. Sometimes people come into the confessional and they say, "Father, I want to make a general confession of all my sins." And I say to myself, "This is not the right time, but go right to it." And I find out that the person is finished. As supposed to take care of it. When you make a general confession, you go back to a certain former confession 2, 3, 4 years ago, and you tell all your sins, even if you've already confessed them. But this person wants just to summarize it and, well, We want to encourage anything that you do with regard to your sins in the confessional, but if you should decide to make a general confession, that is how you do it. And it is very good to do, especially if you have, so you feel, matured somewhat. You feel that you have overcome some barriers and that now you are stronger and you'd like to clean the slate up and begin afresh. That is altogether commendable and it is beneficial. Among the things that I have thought that people might do during Advent, these are just random thoughts, do without eating between meals, cut back on the sweets, the candies, the pastries, the alcoholic beverages. I'm told that women have a hard time in the kitchen. They have a propensity for tasting things before the meal is on the table and then cleaning up afterward. And I'm told that that is the source of much of their poundage. And men, they don't do it that way. They just sit in front of the television and eat and drink beer. That's the secret of their success. After all, you can't play defensive guard on the Indianapolis Colts without putting on some weight. Then the young ladies, they put on weight by way of makeup. They smear their faces in order to add ounces at least. I am under the impression that you use makeup sparingly so that one is not supposed to be able to tell that it is there. It's supposed to be a subtle kind of thing. But some people seem to be demonstrating the various uses of it. And also I have had the misguided impression that makeup is to hide blemishes, not the face. I've had women refer to cosmetics as war paint. Maybe that is the way it's done. But it would seem to me that you could use it less liberally during Advent for your vanity's sake. Now, if you really need it, well, go ahead and use it. I mean, I can have sympathy with that. But it seems to me that darling young girls in the bloom of youth don't need that. And I get the idea that once you start using it, it is addictive. Then you feel naked without it. You feel exposed. And the sooner people get used to seeing you with it, the worse you look without it. Well, so much for that subject. What are we going to say about the little boys? If you little boys would just give up fighting for Advent, we'd all be happier. If you would just give up the tormenting of your younger brothers and sisters, that would be a real step forward. And if any of you does it and can get a signed document from your parents on Christmas Day that you have not started a single row all during Advent, I'll give you a dollar. I do that without the least fear. And on the other hand, you pay me a dollar for every fight you start. And I do that with also the least chance of making a red cent. It would be good for all of you to say the family rosary with fidelity and increased fervor during Advent. It is always good for you to read the masses of the day of every day, especially the greater feast days. For instance, St. Andrew's feast day is tomorrow. And during Advent, during December, there are a number of great saints. On the 7th, for instance, St. Ambrose and St. Cabrini is about the 13th or 14th. Our Lady of Guadalupe is in that period also. This is a perfect devotion and something that has variety to it. And we have to recommend something specific to you so that you can resolve to do it and know that you have done it. That is a way to keep your faith alive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.